Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Dr. Gordon Wilson, and he is the Senior Fellow of Natural History at New St. Andrews College and is a regular contributor at Answers in Genesis. He has published his research, field notes, and abstracts in Southeastern Naturalists, along with some other magazines and journals. Dr. Wilson and his wife, Meredith, have four children and a growing collection of grandchildren. We love those. Mm-hmm. When he's not teaching, you will find him tromping around the Pacific Northwest with his nieces and nephews looking for snakes and lizards. And we're going to talk about your recent film called The Riot and the Dance. Welcome, Dr. Gordon Wilson.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so I got to preview The Riot and the Dance, and this is just a fabulous film with a lot of pictures. It looks like it's more than just the Northwest. So tell us a little bit about your experience and why you filmed.
Well, we filmed because, just a quick background, my nephew approached me. He's a best-selling author for Random House, and he approached me and asked me to be a narrator host for a nature documentary. Well, how that came about was an investor came up to him and said, would you do a nature documentary from a Christian perspective? And he accepted because he knew that I was a biologist, that I loved nature. I was the most logical pick. I was an uncle, and I had taken him out insect collecting when he was 10, when I was doing my master's. And so I had planted a seed, and I'd given him what he calls an outdoor imagination. So although he's a writer, young readers, author, a lot of the love of nature comes into his books. So he asked me to be the narrator. So I was kind of like Bilbo Baggins, minding my own business, and Gandalf shows up at the door. I didn't get hit by a whole bunch of dwarves, but and I got whisked off to do this nature documentary. And we went to Idaho. We went to the Oregon coast. We went to California, Sonoran Desert in Arizona, Yellowstone, and then a two-week safari in Sri Lanka.
So out of that came The Riot
right.
and the Dance.
Exactly.
Well, when you're listening to it, it does have a very genuine, authentic kind of feel. It doesn't even sound like something that someone wrote a script for.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like it brings the viewer right into the picture, like if we're having a conversation,
mm-hmm.
just as we're doing today.
Right.
So was that intentional?
Well, there was definitely two aspects. Sometimes I would be speaking ex temp in the field if I caught something, mm-hmm. but much of it was voiceover in the studio after the fact. So mm-hmm. we would film what we could get, and then the editors would cut and, you know, what footage are we going to use? And then my nephew, Nate, who's a very good writer, he also knows me very well.
Yeah.
And so he wrote the script, and then I would come into the studio, and my son, who is the videographer, director of photography for this whole film, we would do the voiceover. And if there was any small tweak I needed to make or edit, that's not exactly right, we would do mm-hmm. another take and to make sure that the biology was right. But for the most part, it wasn't really in-depth biology, and so my nephew could, you know, write the script by
doing a bit of research.
It's
very interesting. Now, is this going to be played in theaters?
Yes. Last count I heard was 830.
Fantastic.
Theaters across the country.
it's a look at nature from a creationist's point of view in theaters across the country. You can see how God is working to bring about this change in paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it should never have had to be, but...
Right. I think Christians have abdicated largely. We've let the secular world...
Take over.
And we think, okay, well, we just are battening down the hatches and not wanting to not just spread the good news, but the lordship of Jesus Christ should permeate every aspect of life, not just what we do and think and say at church. It should be the lordship of Jesus Christ is over everything. How you are at work, how you create, how you write, whatever you do, it should be done all to the glory of God. And so when someone's an artist, that their Christianity should flow out their fingertips. If you're a biologist, God should not be shouldn't be swept under the carpet. And that's the problem. I'm a heretic in a secular environment. And so, but too many Christians are too quick to play by the rules because they fear for their job, and understandably, because they might lose it.
Yeah.
So they play by the rules, color inside the lines, make sure everything's okay, and we don't change culture.
Yes. I love the idea that the whole family, in some respects, was involved, because that in itself, when you look through biblical history, families were given certain gifts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had Aaron and Moses and Miriam, and even those that did the beautiful work for the temple.
Yeah.
Even Solomon went back to that family lineage that had the gift when he built his temple. So it's interesting. Sometimes we look down on it and accuse people of nepotism and that kind of thing. But God has given gifts to whole families.
Yes. And it's just great, because I had no idea I was planting a seed in my nephew. And just a small act like taking him out collecting really, really was formative in his...
I mean, you're going out into God's original book.
Right. And when we look at life, we often think of biology as the realm of the secular scientists or a BBC camera crews, and that's their domain. No. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And so it is given to us. We are to take dominion, and dominion does not mean oppress and exploit and diminish. Dominion means that we are to take care of it, to appreciate and value it as he values it. When he says in Genesis, after he finished creating the whole of creation, he says, it was very good. And when God says it is very good, I don't think we should be talking back.
It's very good. So the title, The Riot and the Dance, The Riot and the Dance, how did you come up with that title?
Well, I named my textbook The Riot and the Dance, and the reason I did is because the creation was subjected to futility. Adam's sin did not just sever Adam from a relationship, you know, sin separated him from God, but the whole creation was subjected to futility, and we see that in nature all the time. And so that is the riot part. In Romans, it says all creation groans. It's not a basket of kittens out there. It's gnarly, and we show some of that. We're not trying to just only do that, because there's the beauty, the beauty, the original beauty shines through in the fallen aspects. There's fallen aspects of it, but the beauty shines through. But we've got predator-prey relationships that are rife throughout the living world. Parasites, lots of not-so-pleasant things. And we avert our eyes and we go, ooh. But, you know, that should be a reminder that we live in a fallen world. And so that's the riot. But the dance is God's original choreographed dance, whether it's the cell cycle, mitosis, meiosis, you know, at the molecular level, cellular level, it's a dance. But even at the ecosystem level, it's a dance because of the nutrient cycling, the mutualism. Just when we look at the beauty of an ecosystem, there's a dance to it. But because of the fall, there's all sorts of...
Well, we have to take a break right here, but when we come back, then I want to talk a little bit about how you do navigate in a secular environment, being a creationist. We'll be right back.
Now, where did I put my science book?
Hi, Carlos. What are you looking for?
My science book. The one with the picture of the moon on the front.
How can you find anything in that locker? It looks like something exploded in there.
Something did. My science project.
By the way, how's your praying going? God still ignoring you?
Actually, no. I did what you said and started listening after I pray. And I think he's given me some pretty good ideas.
Like what?
Well, last week, when my mom was sick, I asked God what to do to help her get better.
And?
And God gave me a really good thought.
Let me guess. He suggested that you not bug her all the time and let her rest?
Well, that might have worked too. But after I prayed, I thought about soup.
Soup?
Yeah, you know, soup. So I made some.
You made your mother something to eat?
Yep, I made her my famous Carlos stew.
You have a stew named after you?
Yes, it's all natural ingredients and comes in a can labeled tomato soup. I just added my secret ingredient, and she loved it.
Your secret ingredient being...
crackers.
Carlos, that's tomato soup and crackers. There's nothing secret about that.
Ah, but when I gave it to her, I whispered, Mom, here's some soup to make you feel better. I made it myself, and I love you. She smiled and said thank you. Soon, she got better and told me that my Carlos stew was the best medicine there is.
Next time I get sick, you can make me some Carlos stew, too. But you can leave out the I love you part. Just give me the soup.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He's interested in everything we do and longs to be included in our lives. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Welcome back. I'm talking with Dr. Gordon Wilson, and we're talking about his recent film called The Riot and the Dance. He is a senior fellow of natural history at New St. Andrews College, and you also write for Answers in Genesis, which is another website that I encourage my listeners to go to. You can go to his website right now, if you want to see what he looks like. Is your picture on there?
Yes. Is this the New St. Andrews website or the Riot and the Dance?
The Riot and the Dance.
Yeah.
Is it on there?
Yes. It's, I have a picture.
So you can go to riotandthedance.com.
Yes.
And you can look at some of the things that we're talking about.
There's a trailer on that website
for the film, and it's going to be out, so when you see it, you know, coming out, then please attend.
Yes, March 19th.
And it will do a lot to help your children. You know, we're subjecting our children in public school to evolutionistic ideas every day, and this really does help balance that out.
Yeah.
So on that note, how did you go through all that training and still come out with a creationistic view?
Well, that's a great question. My dad taught us to... We had a wonderful Christian home. So my parents were 24/7 Christians. Wonderful home of peace and happiness. And so the idea of rebelling was just foreign. You know, why would I Yeah. Why would I turn away from that? But this was before Christian schools were invented, mostly. And so I was at the public school, and I was seeing the incongruity between what I was learning at home and church and the secular narrative. And so I had, around junior high, I came to that point where I was like, wait, these two don't match. I have to figure out which one to go with. So I read a little booklet by Dwayne Gish called Brainwashed, and that kind of clinched it for me. And ever since then, I did not want to be afraid of evolution. If it was wrong, I could learn it. If I was going to get a degree, I had to learn it. And then I just had to think through it critically. My dad taught us to think critically and not just always be comparing it with the Word of God. And I realized when I critically thought through all of the mechanisms of evolution, it just didn't add up. I said, natural selection works, but this doesn't create. And the more I learned, the more, even from evolutionists, the more I learned from evolutionists, the more disillusioned with it I got. And I realized, no way could this happen. Only the Almighty God, that was infinitely intelligent and wise, could create animals and plants with this kind of complexity.
Mm-hmm. So as you were going then you entered college. What experiences did you have along that route where you had to probably write papers?
Yeah, I would mostly, they knew I was a creationist for the most part, but I would make sure I wasn't a problem child. I made sure that they knew that I knew their theory. So I'm fine with someone who says, okay, these are the things that they want us to know, and I will show them that I know it. I know their evolution. But then just always stay anchored in the Word. And it was just never, for me, it was never a suck, but meaning it never pulled me. Other people I've seen get pulled in.
Yes.
And that's why I'm like, okay, you have to be careful if you're easily convinced by something that I think people realize, because biology is the vast majority of scientists are smart people. And when you say, when they say it over and over again, it's emotionally exhausting to stand against the current.
Yeah,
and some people just want to go with the flow, and they realize, well, if I go with the flow, I can get it, you know, and get a graduate, get more likely get into a graduate program and get a degree and get a job. And if you're constantly cutting against the flow, you might be compromising your ability to succeed in biology.
Yeah, I mean, did you ever have any event where your professors said, you know, you're not going to go anyplace if you don't get with it?
In my orals, I answered a question the way they wanted to hear, I think, but then I exposed myself and said that I thought God had something to do with it, and I won't go into detail, but I said that God created, and that was just, I didn't know what kind of bomb I dropped, but I dropped a big bomb. One guy turned purple in my committee, and then a week later I got a post-it note on an article that was repudiating creation science, and it was saying, Gordon, you'll never be able to call yourself a biologist if you continue to hold the views about evolution you demonstrated last week. You're a bright person, start using your own mind. And I thought, wow, the reason I'm holding the view that I'm holding is because I am using my own mind.
Yes.
I never said that, but I'm they want you to pull the party lever.
Yeah.
And say, well, and evolution to them is like the Trinity is Christianity. Mm. If you don't believe the Trinity, you're not a a Christian.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe evolution, you might be smart, but you're not a biologist. So in order to be part of the club, part of the biology club, in the secular sense, you've got to really believe that naturalism, Darwinism is the answer.
Yeah, and I know that there's listeners going, I want my child to be strong, but they're in a secular environment. So they're hanging on every word you are saying, how you survived, and then not only that, you thrived, and mm-hmm. you are teaching biology.
Yeah, but not in a secular
school. Not in a secular.
So I'm immune, although I have taught microbiology as on a substitute basis up at the University of Idaho. But that caused a stir.
Isn't that
not because I said anything about creation or intelligent design. I was just teaching straight up microbiology, but because I was a creationist, that was enough to cause some people to really be upset.
Wow.
That I was there, even for a semester.
Isn't that something? You know, they really do have a stranglehold on our mm-hmm. on our education system.
Right.
They're very religious. Mm-hmm. Don't ever think aren't religious.
Very religious.
Yes. Well, we haven't gotten to talk much about your family, but how do they? We talked about those that helped you with this film, the riot and the dance, but your wife, your children, are they grown now?
Yeah. My wife is just a wonderful support to me and just a wonderful mom, grandma. She's a shipping manager for Canon Press, which is the book publisher that published my textbook. And it's also associated with Gorilla Poet, the production company that made the film. And my oldest is in England, married to an Englishman over there in Woking, UK.
Oh, well, that gives you an excuse to go to England.
And have four grandkids over there. And my second, Dane, is the videographer for the film and director of photography. And he's married to Chantel. Brooke's married to Daniel Newman. My third daughter's married to a Canadian, Caleb.
Wow, Baron very Drake. International.
Yeah, I know. It's really, the trend is my daughters get married to either UK or Commonwealth countries. So my youngest daughter, she'll be 24 this March. She's single, and hopefully she doesn't get married to somebody from New Zealand. Because we'll be staying broke, flying everywhere.
Yes. Well, I have been talking with Dr. Gordon Wilson about the film The Riot and the Dance and about his own experience as a creationist surviving in a very secular environment, teaching on the college level. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
Thank you very much.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.